Will you take your Bible, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's a wonderful hymn, and the very last line of that hymn is so striking. The truth that the Lord Jesus is not ashamed of us.
Cheryl says that hymn was written by an 11-year-old.
By who?
Joseph Graves was 11 years old when he wrote that one.
Wow. We're learning from 11-year-old. Wow. Okay, we've turned together to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to read the first 12 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day. This afternoon, we're going to focus on just the first part of verse 12, where it says, "For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed." The statement here begins with a reference to the reason for Paul's suffering. And the reason is stated in verse 11. Speaking of the gospel, he says, "For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher." Because Paul was faithful to his calling as a preacher and apostle, as a teacher of the gospel, because he was faithful, he suffered. And what Paul is doing here is he is reinforcing what he has already told Timothy in the previous verses. Timothy must follow in Paul's footsteps. He must be willing to suffer. He must be faithful to his calling. Go back and look at verses 6 to 8 once again. Here it says, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." So here Timothy is being told he's to kindle afresh the gift of God that had been given to him. It was the gift of preaching the gospel. He wasn't to be timid. He wasn't to shrink back in fear when he faced opposition. He wasn't to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, nor was he to be ashamed of the Apostle Paul as Paul was sitting in prison. Timothy was to be like Paul. He was to be faithful to his calling, even if it meant suffering for being faithful. Several weeks ago, when we came to verse 8 in this chapter, we considered that subject of being willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. And we found that the subject of suffering is brought up in every chapter of this second letter to Timothy. Here in verse 8, as we've already seen, it says, "Join with me in suffering for the gospel." In chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "Follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and suffering." Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And then in chapter 4, Paul speaks of being poured out like a drink offering as the time of his execution was drawing near. Timothy was to be willing to suffer for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Now think about what Paul suffered. He says here in verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed." What things did Paul suffer? Well, going back to verse 8, it speaks there of his being a prisoner. In verse 15, it speaks of being forsaken by his friends. He says, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Philegius and Hermogenes." Those were trusted friends of Paul. They turned away from him. Paul speaks of being abandoned by his friends again in chapter 4. He says, "At my first defense, no one supported me. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them." How that had to have crushed the apostle, as his trusted friends, they abandoned him when he needed them. Much like what the disciples did to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were probably ones who had come to faith under Paul's ministry. Some had ministered right alongside of Paul. But when the crunch came, when they were going to have to suffer, they all abandoned Paul. How that must have caused him to suffer. And then in the last chapter, reference is also made to Demas. Demas was his fellow worker. He's mentioned in some of the epistles. And yet Demas turned away and he went back to the world. That too must have absolutely crushed the apostle. Part of his suffering. What he suffered is mentioned again in chapter 2. He says, "I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal." One writer, speaking of the prison in Rome, says, "A more horrible place for the confinement of a human being can scarcely be conceived." Paul speaks more about his suffering in chapter 3. He says, "But you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, and suffering. Such has happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured." In all three of those places, he suffered. And it progressively got worse. At Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, they were driven out of the city for preaching the gospel. From Antioch, they went to Iconium. Those who opposed the gospel there, they plotted to kill them. So they fled there. Then they went to Lystra. You remember when they went to Lystra, they encountered a lame man and they healed him. Well, all the multitudes, they came and they bowed down before Paul and Barnabas. They wanted to worship them as gods. And they told them they couldn't do such a thing. Well, then the multitudes turned against them and they stoned Paul and they left him for dead. I don't know if we have any imagination of just the heap of flesh he must have been as he lay there on the road after being stoned and left for dead. Paul said that he suffered these things for the sake of the gospel. In chapter 4, we find Paul waiting to be executed. He says, "I am already being poured out at a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Now, beyond what we're told here in this letter to Timothy in 2 Corinthians, Paul, he gives a rather long list of what he suffered for Christ's sake. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "We are afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake." In chapter 11, he gives even a longer list. This is what he suffered: in labors, imprisonments, beaten, times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That's making reference to Lystra. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. That's what Paul was willing to suffer for the Savior. What are we willing to suffer for our Savior? Sadly, there's so many Christians, they can't even be inconvenienced, let alone suffer for Jesus' sake. What are we willing to suffer for Jesus' sake? Well, why was Paul willing to suffer so much? He says here in Timothy in chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory." In 1 Corinthians 9, again, speaking of his seeking to reach the lost for Jesus' sake with the gospel, he says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Well, Paul's in suffering, it finally ended when he was executed. And tradition tells us that he was beheaded. Paul wrote this to the Colossians. "Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body," which is the church, "in filling up that which was lacking in Christ's affliction." So Paul, he suffered for the Lord Jesus because he loved the Lord Jesus. He suffered for the gospel. He suffered for the elect. He suffered for God's people. Now here to the Colossians, he speaks of Jesus' suffering. When we look at the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, why did Jesus suffer? Well, the answer to that is, Lord Jesus, he suffered for us. And he suffered so much. Jesus suffered in every conceivable way that a human being can suffer. He suffered emotionally, he suffered physically, and he suffered spiritually. Just looking at that very briefly, him suffering emotionally. He was rejected by his nation. John 1, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. We know that how that affected him, because when he looked upon Jerusalem at the triumphal entry, he burst into tears because they were lost and he knew what was going to happen to them. He loved his own. In John chapter 7, we read of his unbelieving brothers taunting him. How that also must have caused suffering to the heart of our Savior, that his own family, his own brothers, rejected him. He was betrayed by a friend. Psalm 41 says, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Jesus quoted that passage and he applied it to Judas, who betrayed him. In Gethsemane, we learn there of his disciples, his closest friends. They all desert him and leave him in the hands of those who came to arrest him. In Jerusalem that same night, one of his closest friends, Peter, completely disowns him. "I never knew the man." And Jesus heard it all. No wonder Isaiah calls Jesus the man of sorrows. And then he suffered physically. If you would like, turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Just before reading that, I would read from Isaiah 50, where it says, I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheek to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Chapter 52 of Isaiah, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. And then here in Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 3, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our grief he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being it fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people for whom the stroke was due? Goes on to say, the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. When Jesus stood before the Jewish Sanhedrin on trial, it says, then they spat in his face, and they beat him with their fist. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to you, Christ, who is the one who hit you? And then from there, we know that he was delivered over to the Romans. Pilate, he found him innocent, but he still sentenced him to death anyway. Pilate delivered him over to his soldiers to execute him. And then we read this, and the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole Roman cohort around him, and they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit in his face. They took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took his robe off and put a garment back on him, and they led him away to crucify him. Psalm 22 prophetically tells us of the crucifixion, what he suffered there. It says, I am poured out like like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaw. And thou dost lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hand and my feet. I can count all of my bones. Well, what our Savior suffered in his body, it pales into nothingness in comparison to what he suffered in his soul. That suffering is expressed in the cry of Jesus, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can't measure the depths of that suffering. Well, why did the Lord Jesus willingly suffer all of that? Why? The Bible tells us, Titus, he gave himself for us. Peter says he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Ephesians, walk in love. just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. John, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. Corinthians 8, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The Lord Jesus, he suffered as no one else has ever suffered from all eternity. And he endured it all willingly for us. Think about that. He endured all of that specifically for you and specifically for me. Ask yourself, how can we ever doubt his love for us when he was willing to endure all of that to save us? And as we approach the table, approach asking a second question, what are we willing to suffer for him? What are we willing to do for Jesus in light of all that he has done for us?